right, let's get after it. It's another edition of the NHL's collaboration with the Action Network, talking all things betting on the NHL front. Nick Alberga and Michael Leboff back together. It feels like it's been ages, buddy. What's going on?
Yeah, it has been ages. Last time we spoke, I mean, Bo Horvat wasn't even close to Long Island. And, you know, now we got Tarasenko in New York and trade deadline 3 weeks away about. Things are starting to percolate. I know you're trying to ship those shirts, but people are making trades.
Yeah, someone make a trade, hashtag NHL. That's exactly where I wanted to start. So we're on the same page. Let's go with Tarasenko first. That's the big move for me. What does this do to the futures appeal of the New York Rangers?
Yeah, a lot of times with teams, once the trade is made, it's too late. And that's probably the case with the Rangers, right? They're on fire right now. They've got this little honeymoon phase going with Tarasenko. They're playing good hockey, but you're going to see money come in on the Rangers for, you know, the next few weeks, I think, as they keep trending up. And you're going to have to kind of pick your spot where you're going to think they're overvalued. We saw them take it to the Hurricanes the other day. They look like a world beater with Tarasenko. Now, when they're still not a great 5-on-5 team, that could change. They've got a pretty soft schedule. They're going to Vancouver on Wednesday, and then they've got a tough one against Edmonton. I'm really interested to see where that line on Friday in Edmonton ends up, because if you look at the futures market, both the Rangers and Oilers are basically in the same price range. The market views them both with the same kind of odds to win the Stanley Cup. You can talk about some caveats there. The West is softer than the East. The Rangers' path should be more difficult. But I don't know if I would say that the Rangers are the better team. I think you can say that they're close. And if the Rangers are better than the Oilers, it's probably negligible. So I'm really interested to see where that line ends up, because it should give us a pretty good read on just how good the betting market thinks the Rangers are. And they're a team that I've had wrong now for 2 years, because I think that their 5-on-5 play still isn't caught up with the other elite teams. And until you see that, it's hard to bet on them at these prices. So the Rangers are probably going to be a sell high team. And when I say sell high, that doesn't mean this is a bad team. That means this is a good team, but the market thinks it's much better than I think it actually is. So the Rangers are a team I'm once again looking to bet against, and probably will regret those words in a couple weeks when me and you sit back down together. I'll say the same thing, and I'll have less money in my pocket probably.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think I looked at the value before I came on here, plus 1600 to win the Stanley Cup. I'm willing to get with that, man. Like, they have Shesterkin, they have Adam Fox. Now you add Tarasenko, potentially the top line in hockey, for my opinion right now. What's Zibanejad and Panarin? Panarin and Tarasenko are buddies. Like, I think if there's one team who could surprise, and it's weird to say that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's the Rangers, because I know everybody and their mother is going to take the Carolina Hurricanes. How do you not get behind the Boston Bruins, Tampa Bay, Toronto? Like, there's some juggernaut teams that I find the Rangers could even sleep in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, I really wonder where, if they keep playing like this, right, they might go in as the trendy pick. But as you said, like, they could also go in with like a sleeper status, depending on how this last stretch goes. One thing I also add about these Rangers is they've dealt with virtually no injury adversity this season or last season. I think it was last year we saw them play an 82-game season where most of the league had dealt with COVID stuff. The Rangers didn't have any of that. They go into the playoffs. The only top four defenseman who missed any time was Ryan Lindgren. He missed a couple of games. They really didn't miss anybody from their top six forwards. It was just Ryan Strome. He missed one game. And then this season, if you look at their games played charts, it's unheard of how healthy this team's been. None of their top five defensemen have missed more than two games. Once again, that's Lindgren, Panarin, Zibanejad haven't missed a game. Kreider and Hedel are the only two who have missed any significant amount of time. When I say significant, I'm talking three games for Kreider, four games for Kreider, and maybe eight for Hedel. Other than that, it's I think it's like a total of 13 games among their top nine forwards, and two of those 13 are a healthy scratch for Lafreniere, and I think a healthy scratch for Jimmy Vesey. So it'll be interesting to see if the Rangers are able to stay like this, you know, stay this healthy going through the stretch run and into the playoffs. But if they aren't, you know, we've seen with teams in years past when they roll like this, and then a player gets deleted from their lineup for even a little bit of time, they then have to adjust, and they in such a rhythm that they can't do it. So yeah, they're definitely there's much more reason for optimism for this team than pessimism, for sure. But I think you're just going to see the prices are just going to get out of hand as this honeymoon phase with Tarasenko kind of continues.
So we talk about optimism. We shift the focus now to the New York Islanders, who opened up the floodgates finally in the trade department in the NHL here in 2023. They acquired Bo Horvat, the former captain of the Vancouver Canucks. What's your read on the Islanders? We all know how we both feel about Ilya Sorokin. Still, I think, in our opinions, the odds-on favorite to win the Vezina Trophy this season. He's been incredible. But has your opinion changed now that they got Bo Horvat on Long Island?
Well, I think the understreak for the Islanders is probably something that will be a thing of the past. They're starting to score more, but they're showing some serious defensive flaws again too. And you wonder if it's one of those situations where you fix one problem, everyone takes a little bit of a breather and another one pops up, because the defense has looked pretty suspect under Lane Lambert this season compared to what we're used to out of the Islanders. And you look at their personnel and you think this should be a pretty tidy defensive unit, and they're not, especially lately. I think that they're still that, their profile kind of remains the same. They're a team that should punch up pretty well against teams when they're the underdog, but you don't want to be laying big prices with the Islanders. We saw what happened the past two games against Vancouver and Montreal, two of the bottom feeders in the league, and the Islanders just beat themselves. And that, when a team is doing that, when a team's shooting itself in its own foot, like, that's not a team you want to lay big wood with as a favorite. That said, I think, you know, that the pendulum in the Eastern Conference playoff race is just so out of whack. We'll talk a little bit about the Penguins and Sabres in a little bit, but that race, to me, if you want to pick, you can make an argument for any of those teams to make or miss, whether it's Washington, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Florida, or the Islanders. So I could listen to anybody say that this team's a good bet to make the playoffs or that team's a good bet to make the playoffs. And I think the Islanders with Horvat, like, the upside is there that, you know, if they're hanging around 3, 3.5 to 1, whatever price you can find, you could talk me into that being a good bet because of the goaltending. They could go on a little bit of a run, and their schedule, even though they've played more games than everyone else, they do have a bunch of games left against the teams around them, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, and Washington. But yeah, they're a team that, you know, they play Ottawa on Tuesday night. The Senators are going to be on the second game of a back-to-back. They'll be playing likely their 4-string goalie. And yet, I don't want to go near the Islanders because you're going to have to lay a huge price with them, and they don't deserve it.
Look, I'm happy there's even a race, right? If you do recall last year, it was over by January. I remember we went to the All-Star game in Vegas and we had nothing to talk about when it came to the Eastern Conference because the 8 teams were etched in stone. So we do have a race. Got to get this in as well. Keep them company. The New Jersey Devils, Jack Hughes goes down. We talked off air. Let's bring the conversation on air about the futures appeal. And I do agree with you. You got to jump the gun sometimes in anticipation of a big move. I don't know if you've heard, they're calling for some guy from San Jose to go to the New Jersey Devils. Is that a team you'd be interested in taking a futures look at? I know Jack Hughes is here right now.
Yeah, I think the Devils, they were a team that I've had no interest in the futures market up until now, but my plan is still kind of to wait and see, because let's say this Hughes injury does have a little bit of a drag on them.
Yeah.
And they fall behind the Rangers in the standings. And they go into the playoffs at a longer price than they are right now. Even if they do get Timo Meier, like, yet you'll see a little bit of like a dopamine hit with Meier, and people will bet on him and bet on the Devils once the trade hits. But if you kind of just sit back and wait and let this race shake out, you could probably get the Devils at either the price they're at right now or longer, because unless they recapture the form from earlier this season, they're not going to catch Carolina. So they're either going to go in as a pick 'em, I would say, in a series, a best of 7 against the Rangers at home, or as an underdog if they fall to the third place, because like we talked about with the Rangers, the market, I don't think, is going to give up on the Rangers. They're a public team for years now, just because of where they play. And they just went to the Eastern Conference final. So you should be able to get some good prices on New Jersey. And you talked about the Rangers being a sleeper. The Devils could end up being a little bit of a sleeper, despite the fact that they're going to be they could be the surprise team that makes the playoffs from the preseason and yet still a sleeper, because I think so many people are going to back the Rangers. So the Devils are a team to have circled, I think, even if they don't get Meier, because I think the market is just going to shift towards the Rangers, and you'll be able to get some good drift on New Jersey.
I'm curious to get your sort of strategy as you move forward here to the trade deadline, onwards and upwards to the Stanley Cup playoffs, in terms of tailing desperate teams. I don't know if it's just a narrative I've created, but in my second half every year, I like to target teams that are fighting for their playoff lives, the Floridas, the Washingtons, the Pittsburghs, the Islanders, as you referenced, Edmonton, Calgary to a degree in the Western Conference. I think Vegas could be in that conversation with all the injuries there. Do you target those teams differently, knowing the urgency has to be there if they want to make the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, the must-win narrative is always going to be baked into the price. We see it in the playoffs, and we see it in the race. So you just need to know that, like, let's say you want to bet the Islanders on Tuesday night against the Senators, or the Sabres coming up, this week against the Sharks. One of these teams has everything to play for. The other, a loss probably suits them better in the long run. You just need to know that's going to be baked in. Like, that is, you're going to be paying a 20-cent premium on teams like that. We see it all the time in the playoffs. The best example is always that a team falls down 2-0 in a series, and that quote unquote must win narrative comes to play, where, if they lose this one, they go down 3-0. So the market's just going to bet on them to be the more desperate team, to play the desperate hockey. And I actually think, like, there is something to it in the regular season, right? Like, there is something, hockey is such a game about effort, that if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins and you're playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, you could probably feel safe that the Penguins should be the team that is more in tune with their game plan, and their execution should be there, and their effort level should be higher. You should feel safe in those assumptions. But you can't just bank on it and just be like, you know what, Penguins are minus 250. I don't even care about the price here. I'm just going to bet it, because that's when you start getting yourself into trouble, is when you just solely bet a team because it's a must win, or they're in a more desperate spot, rather than taking a step back and kind of baking that handicap into your overall kind of breakdown of a game.
Bet with your head, not your heart, as we always like to bring up here on this collaboration. So you want to touch on Tampa and Edmonton. I do like the value as well in terms of the futures appeal.
So yeah, let's talk about Edmonton first. The Oilers are a team that if you want to bet them, you got to do it. You probably are running out of time. Not only is their form really good, but they are a team that I think one move makes a huge difference for the Oilers. If they are able to upgrade a top four spot on their defense, if they're able to land someone, whether it be like a Jacob Chychrun type, that's going to make a huge difference, I think, for the Oilers, rather than, a team like, you can talk about Boston or Toronto. What's the ceiling? Like, how much higher is the ceiling than what we've actually seen from these teams, right? Like, sure, Jacob Chychrun or Timo Meier, whatever, they definitely improve those teams, or Colorado, whoever it is. But with the Oilers, I think where we see them now, which is still trending up, there's still a gap between where they can end up if they make the right move at the deadline. And I'd assume, given that they've got to extend Draisaitl and McDavid, and the way that the season's gone, it's kind of been uneven, and now they're on solid footing. They're going to want to be one of the more aggressive teams at the deadline and kind of go for broke. So I like the Oilers now. I think whether you want to bet them to win the Western Conference, because I think the path is basically they've established themselves as the best team of the Pacific. So the path is pretty open. They should be a favorite in every series in the Pacific. And yes, they'll be an underdog if they play a healthy Colorado in the Western Conference Finals, but they won't be the price that they are in to win the conference right now. So the Oilers are a buy right now to me. I would do it quick if you want to get in, because they can make the season changing trade at any minute. And the Lightning, man, this Lightning team, I always think about, like, if the Golden State Warriors, I guess, are the best example in the NFL, I guess, or maybe the Kansas City Chiefs now. This is a team that is in building a dynasty. They've made 3 straight Stanley Cups. They've won 2 of them, and they somehow are flying under the radar. Like, do the Golden State Warriors or Kansas City Chiefs fly under the radar in their respective sports? I don't think so.
Unless talk to Travis Kelce, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what he was talking about, but you're not going to hear, you could actually agree that, if the Lightning win the Stanley Cup and you hear Victor Hedman say, like, nobody gave us any respect, you'd be like, he's actually got a point. Cause for some reason, this team has been kind of just ignored all regular season. They've been hanging around 12-1 all year. And if you look at the teams ahead of them on the odds board, depending on where you're looking, like, it's basically the same, right? The Bruins, Hurricanes, Avalanche, Leafs are the teams. The Rangers are kind of creeping up on their price range. Devils, even like the Knights in some spots, the Stars are kind of in their range, that teen spot on the board, between like 12 and 18-1. I think the Lightning should probably be single digits right now. And I'm not totally sure why they're not. Maybe it's because nobody wants to bet. There's not a lot of money on them, considering people bought into the narrative that where's the effort level going to be from this team after they saw their dynasty come to an end? And they've kind of proven that they're right back in it. They're the same team that we've seen the past few years. They've got Andrei Vasilevskiy in goal. So the Lightning, to me, man, like, I don't know why they're continuing to be discounted, but if I'm picking a team at the top of the board to win the Stanley Cup in terms of price, the Lightning, I think, are the best one out there.
I could not agree more. First and foremost, you look at that Atlantic division for all the accolades Boston's getting. I get it. Toronto as well. And then you look and there's Tampa, 2 points back of the Leafs, I believe, with a game in hand for second in the Atlantic division, not to mention the pedigree they have on that roster, not to mention we all know what they're going to do ahead of the deadline, right? Yep. Like, they're going to pick up somebody good. Last year was Hagel and Nick Paul. This year it's going to be somebody else. They fleece from another organization. And so I think the time is right now, if you want a futures play on Tampa, to do a Ray Nalibov.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because like you said, they're going to make a trade and, you know, whoever it is, like, it'll come out of nowhere, Breezeball from the top rope, and then it'll be too late, you know, to bet them. And this is a team that I mean, their prices are going to get higher, right? Like, they're not going to go all of a sudden, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and see the Lightning at 20-1, you know, unless Andrei Vasilevskiy goes down or something completely or unforeseen happens. But so yeah, now is the time with this team. And they have a chance, a legitimate chance to finish second in this division. And then it's, you're talking a coin flip with them or Toronto in a best of seven. So I know the path is tough going through the Atlantic, but I don't understand why this price is as long as it is.
So Patrick Mahomes threw a wrench in my narrative, my theory, because he's an MVP and then he wins the Super Bowl. But then I tried to translate the conversation to the Boston Bruins, and I have a tough time getting behind a President's Trophy winner. We all think it's going to be them that wins the President's Trophy, going on to win the Stanley Cup. In your opinion, do you feel the way I do that Boston has peaked? Do they have enough to win the cup this year? Because I'm actually fading them. I just have that feeling they're not going to go far or not going to win the cup this year.
Yeah, I think the price is just going to be way too high on them and across like any market, because they're going to be priced like the team that they were going into the All-Star break, which was a historically good team, right? Like,
yeah.
Can we expect them to play at that pace in the second half? I don't think so. I think that there's going to be times where they're going to take their foot off the gas and you know, maybe, you know, Linus Ullmark or Jeremy Swayman struggle. There's too many things that can go wrong in a hockey game and in a hockey season to lay these kind of prices. They're kind of close to where the Avalanche were basically all last season. And I don't know, even the fact that the Bruins are this historically good record team, I don't know if we'd say that they're better than the Avalanche were or a bigger juggernaut. So not a team I want to go near. I think there'll be an interest. I'm very interested to see where their prices kind of go from this point, because I think you should be able to make money basically betting against them from here on out. Whether that continues in the playoffs will be a different story, of course.
So I know we're going to get to this week's schedule. I want to ask you about Connor Bedard and how to approach teams who could be involved in that conversation: Columbus, Chicago, Anaheim, Arizona. I'd love for you to tell me what San Jose is doing because they keep winning. Vancouver, ditto for the Montreal Canadiens. How would you attack those teams as we get closer to the deadline and to the end of the season?
Yeah, the Sharks are the one that I want to highlight because they are so good at keeping things as close to a 50-50 as you can with that roster. They do a good job driving play. I think they're top 10 in expected goals percentage at 5-on-5 this season. They're top 5 in high danger chance percentage at 5-on-5. And those two things aren't, you know, doesn't mean there's not gospel, right? Like, but it just tells you that this team actually pushes play in the right direction more often than not. And that makes them a dangerous underdog. They are 7-8 when they're plus 170 or longer this season. And if you'd bet $100 on them every game, you'd have $580 in your pocket. That's good for nearly a 40% return on investment. So the Sharks are a team that I still think are worth keeping in your pocket when they're at a big price, even without Meyer. You should still see the process should be good enough, and it'll just come down to whether or not they finish their chances and they get the goaltending that night. So San Jose, I still think Arizona's playing hard. I still like them at home. That has kind of paid off. They're in the green there. And the other teams, like the Blue Jackets, their defense is getting somewhat healthier. I think Blankenberg actually makes a pretty big difference for them. So those three teams for sure. Like I've got no problem, you know, keeping them around as teams that I don't want. I'm not going to put them on like a betting blacklist. Chicago's a little bit of a different story, I think. Not really a team I'm going to be too interested in going down the stretch. But in Anaheim, I think two falls in that category. But the other three, like, and especially San Jose, I think this week is a very good buy team. Pittsburgh, they play on Tuesday night. They've got a game with Buffalo later in the week. Like, this is a team that you talked about, that must-win narrative.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's in a must-win spot against San Jose on Tuesday night, wrapping up that road trip. Buffalo's going to come in later in the week. That's going to be a huge 2 points that they're going to need to get to stay relevant. So the Sharks, to me, are a team that when these must-win desperate teams come into their building, or even when the Sharks are on the road, like, don't be afraid to bet the Sharks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on right now, because the underdogs are winning quite a bit. The last thing I'd bring up on that front, watch out for Philadelphia, man. The last time a team put out a letter, they got one penned by John Tortorella. It's signifying something. Yeah, we're in the process of vetting down a bit here, and we could be in the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. So look out for that. I'm looking forward to some spots this week. I wanted to bring up the Ottawa Senators. I think you referenced earlier, they're on like their fourth string netminder. Shout out to Pete Jensen, who's Danish. Mads Søgaard, Danish netminder, has like 3 games of NHL experience. Is it crazy to maybe start attacking overs when it comes to the Ottawa Senator games?
No, I think it makes sense, actually. Like Tuesday night, they'll play the Islanders. The Islanders have been an under team all year. The market still should be catching up to the fact that the Islanders are playing a much looser style since the trade. So that's to me screams over. When you're getting to this point, like, you're not just banking on the goalie being maybe not up to NHL standards, but one early goal or two early goals just throws the game state completely off. And then the next, the team that falls behind it needs to start playing riskier. The Senators have no problem doing that, and they already have a pretty suspect blue line. So yeah, the Senators are definitely a team to keep an eye on in terms of their total prices.
Couple things I'm looking at this week: the Boston-Dallas game on Valentine's Day, Jim Montgomery's return as a head coach to Dallas. Don't forget about that. So I like the Bees in that game. And Tampa and Colorado, second time in what, 5 days? And I know without Makar too, and the uncertainty surrounding him, I wonder if Colorado returns serve more so because of what happened last week in Tampa, Leboff.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Makar makes a huge difference to that team, like in every facet of the game. But they're still like the Avalanche. Anytime you can get them at a decent price, I would still take it. Like they're not a team I'm worried about at all. And I'm sure another big injury can definitely change that tune, but they're a buy to me. I think both of these teams actually are buys. Like, we saw people start to get skeptical of the Lightning after they lost their first 2 games out of a break, in which the break basically was headquartered in Florida. So you can kind of excuse them for the way they came out. And now they seem to recapture their form. And Colorado, to me, like, they're just it'll take time to adjust without Makar more than anything, but they're seven wins out of the last 10. If you can get them at decent prices, especially at home, like, absolutely.
Yeah, they're going streaking like Will Ferrell in old school. There's no doubt about that. Two other games, New York and Edmonton. I'm looking forward to that one on Friday night, and Edmonton and Colorado next Sunday. McKinnon and McDavid, can't wait for that. But who are some dogs? You talked about San Jose you're looking at, and some best bets for the week.
Yeah, to me, like, the Sharks, they're the team of the week for me. Like I said, they play 3 desperate hockey clubs. Tuesday night, they host the Penguins. Thursday night, they travel to Vegas to take on the Knights. And then Saturday, they're taking on the Buffalo Sabres. So, like, this team is just going to get completely overlooked. If you're talking about it, a lot of other people are going to be talking about the must-win narratives and, oh man, like, the Sabres really need to beat the Sharks on whatever day, Saturday Saturday when they host them. I'm just going to back the Sabres. But that's when you got to back, an underdog like San Jose that's still playing hard. And I think also on Saturday night, you're going to get a huge number on Montreal in Toronto. Sam Montembeault has been really good. His performances have gone under the radar. The Habs are playing really hard, and you know that they'll be up for that one. So that's, let's keep an eye on where that number ends up, but I'll probably be on the Habs in that one as well. And I'm going to keep fading the Penguins, man. If you look at Pittsburgh's record the last 25 games and San Jose's record the last 25 games, it's 3 points. So that's a large sample size, man. So the Penguins, to me, are still getting too much respect based on their name brand recognition and the fact that everyone kind of just assumes that they're going to wake up and make the playoffs because they've done it 16, 17 straight years. So Sharks are by, like I said, I'm circling that spot, Montreal and Toronto. Penguins, keep fading them.
Yeah, I could not agree more on the Montreal front. First and foremost, as somebody who covers the Leafs, they beat Toronto twice this season, always play them well. At the very least, I'm looking at the puck line. And you just know every time they play, Toronto's just a heavy, heavy favorite. There's no value in the Leafs, and that's been the case for the majority of the season. Anything else you'd like to add before we wrap here?
Just be careful of these Islanders, man. Don't go near them as a favorite.
You're done with them, eh? Finished? Yeah. You're finished with the Islanders.
Only as a favorite, man. Like, just don't trust them.
Okay, we'll leave with that. Leboff, it's been great to reconnect with you, my man.
You too, man.
Make sure to check out the Line Change podcast as well as the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. We had the Waiver Wire edition with Waiver Wire James this past week. But that's going to do it for Michael Leboff. I'm Nick Alberga, producer Bob Bender as well. You've been listening to another collaboration with the NHL and the Action Network.